I definitely need your prayers. I have struggled with this. Seems like more than normal. It's always a struggle to get up here. Anybody that's ever been up here knows you can't just come up here not prepared. You got to spend time. And I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out what to preach more than once I figured out what I was going to preach. So you pray. I've had a cough for about 5 weeks, almost ever since I got done with COVID. I've had this cough, and it has not gone away. It's just dry, terrible, eating my throat up cough. And I preached last week, and it stayed away. So let's pray that it'll stay away this week. That way I can get this message across. We'll get right into it real quick. Let's go ahead, and I'm going to take my text out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And then I'll be preaching out of the book of Daniel. So if you want to get 2 Timothy 3 in one hand and Daniel 1 in the other. Amen. All right, I'm just giving everybody a chance to get there. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Perfect Bible reads, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." My Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you've given me another opportunity to stand. God, I know I can't stand here in my own strength. Father, I have no ability. I have no knowledge unless you give it. I ask you now that you'd use me to glorify yourself, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and help your people. And Father, we'll thank you for everything that's done. We ask it today in the only name above every name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm going to try, if I can, I'm going to preach a little bit on what to do in perilous, dark, painful, troublesome, any other adjective you want to use for these times we live in today. And it's obvious that we are in the last days. It's obvious to anybody who studies their Bible that we are in the last days, and they're not going to end soon enough to suit me. I'll be honest with you. I've had a lot of problems in the last little while, and I'm ready to go home. I couldn't leave here fast enough to suit me. And I hope the rest of you feel the same way.
Everybody.
It will. Now, in Daniel, Daniel's had a lot of dark times. I mean, Daniel endured. He endured a lot. And I've only got 3 points probably out of here quicker tonight than we've ever been while I've preached. So we might beat the Methodists out this evening. No, they're not having service. That's right. Never mind. They've already beat us out. Oh, well. So much for that, huh, Caleb? No. Now, I did tell Brenda I was going to tell on her, but I won't. She told me to keep it simple, stupid. You believe that? She said that to me. I said, well, that's the only way I know to do it. It's stupid. So I'm good with that. I think she meant for me to slow down and get out of here later. That's what she was really wanting. But I told her I was going to tell. All right, in Daniel chapter 1, we find that the nation of Israel, or technically the tribe of Judah, was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, when he came in and took them, he took them and made eunuchs of a lot of them. And that's pretty obvious. Daniel, I believe, was a eunuch. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they were all eunuchs. Most people want to give them their Babylonian names and call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that's not their names. That's not their names. That's not who they are. See, that's what the world wants to do to us. They want to give us a different name than what we are. You know, everything that's considered Christian these days is Catholic. I mean, you watch the TV, if it's Christian, it's Catholic. Well, we're not Catholic. So I'll be honest with you, the term Christian doesn't mean that much anymore. It passes for just about anything, you know. And that's what they try to do to them. Let me get to the verses here. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. That's kind of telling. With part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now, they were taken into captivity with that.
That's right.
The people were taken and gone. Now, in verse 3, starting there, it says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs," that's where we get the fact that they were eunuchs, "that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." So what they were going to do is they were going to take them in and assimilate them into their people. They were going to take them in and make them what they wanted them to be, which is what the world's trying to do to our children now. You get in the schools now with this critical race theory and all this other garbage they're teaching in the schools. They're indoctrinating your children. They've got kids as young as 4 and 5 years old in like a preschool of some kind with trying to teach them that it's okay if you don't feel like a boy. Or it's okay if you don't feel like a girl. You should be what you are. Well, you should. You should be what you are. Listen, if you don't know which bathroom to go into, you're crippled too high for crutches. You really ought to have some, you know, just a little bit of smarts enter into there somehow or another. It's real simple. You were born male or female. Now, there are some medical things that took place, some babies born that had, you know, different than that, but you're born male or female. I mean, you know, that some of those things have happened, but the world wants to take you in and change your name and give you a different identity and tell you you're going to be this today and that tomorrow. They had in some school up there, a girl was molested in a bathroom by a boy who was identifying as a girl that day. No, he wasn't. He was identifying as a way to get in that bathroom. That's what he was doing. And see, that's what this is going on right here with Daniel. They taught them the ways of their world. Now, Daniel had to learn some things. He had to learn a lot of things in there to be able to continue on and be useful to God in that situation he was in. But he also was useful to the men that was with him. I mean, you stop and look, when Daniel was promoted, they got promoted with him. I mean, a lot of good came from what Daniel did. But what happened with Daniel, when all these things took place, Daniel's response was what our response ought to be. In chapter 1 and verse 8, we find this. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." See, we don't have to defile ourselves. You know what Jesus Christ prayed in John 17? He said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." That's what happened here with Daniel. Daniel wasn't out of the Chaldeans' ministry there. He was right there with them. And he learned the knowledge that they wanted him to learn. Those things that he knew. Listen, we've got guys in this church who are engineers and all kinds of smart people that do all kinds of big fancy jobs. They had to learn that knowledge from the world's knowledge. But God uses that. What happened with Daniel? He learned the knowledge that God wanted him to know. He learned those things from the Chaldeans that God wanted him to know. And then he ran the place. God put him in charge. See, that's what happens. When God uses something, he uses it how he wants to. And we can be yielded to God. We need to purpose in our hearts. And what does that mean, to purpose in your heart? Make up your mind. Make up your mind you're not going to conform to the image of this world. You may have to know all kinds of things to get by in this world, but you don't have to conform to their image. You don't have to be just like them. No. We're told to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you not. So if we can do that, why should we not? Now, why would he tell us to do that if we couldn't do it? So, in Daniel's response in chapter 1, verse 8, to purpose in his heart, look what God decided in God's response. And that's basically the outline I have here, is Daniel's hard times, his response, and God's response. Yeah. So, we're going to look at God's response here in this chapter. In chapter 1, look at verse 9. "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." Just like so many other times, God gave Daniel favor where he needed it. Just like Joseph, God gave Daniel favor. See, Joseph was in prison, but he had favor in the prison. Well, Daniel is in captivity, and God gave him favor in captivity. So, see, that eunuch loved him. He cared for him because why? Because he was a young man. I don't know how old Daniel was. The typical commentary will say he's probably 14, 15 years old, maybe 16. But that's good. He's a young man. And that prince of the eunuchs, he cared for him. He cared for him. And God put that into his heart. He didn't naturally care for him. God did that for him. So God brought him in there. Look at verse 17. Look what God did here. And as for these four children, now that takes in Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael with him. God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Look at verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. There wasn't nobody as good as these guys. Do you think they had that innate knowledge in them? I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. How many times have you been in a situation to where you needed something, you needed to be able to do something, you knew you couldn't do it in your own self, you didn't have enough wisdom to do something, and God gave you that wisdom right on the spot, just right when you needed it. That's what happened right here. God gave Daniel the wisdom right when he needed it. He gave Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah the wisdom right when they needed it. That's what he does for us. He gives us everything we need exactly when we need it. I'll tell you what happened one time. My wife, we had some friends that lost a baby. And my wife was talking. We were at home and one of my sons was there at the house. And she says, I just don't know how they handle that. And my son said something wiser than I've ever heard him say. He said, Mom, you don't need to know how to handle it right now. That's because God gave them the wisdom to deal with it or the strength to deal with it when it happened. She didn't need to know how to deal with it. She hadn't lost a child. God gives us what we need when we need it. Amen. Right on time. You ever think about that? God has never been late. Has he ever let you down? Has he ever been late in your life with anything? Well, I mean, we may think sometimes, well, where you at, God? Where you at? I mean, this is coming down fast. We're going to lose everything we got. The place is falling down. But it don't. It don't fall down. He gives us what we need. Now, my next point is more dark days for Daniel. And in chapter 2, look at verse 11. Daniel gets a decree of death. And in this chapter is when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream. Now this is the wildest thing. Nebuchadnezzar, he called his magicians and all this bunch in there, and he wanted to find out what his dream was. He woke up. You ever wake up, you had a dream, you just couldn't quite remember what it was, but it had you tore plumb out of the frame? Well, that's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He couldn't remember what it was. So he expected all his people to be able to tell him what the dream was and then give him the interpretation of it. And they're like, hey, ain't nobody ever done nothing like that, you know? We can't do that. And what they told him was it's in the hands of the gods. You know, we can't know that stuff. And Nebuchadnezzar said, that's fine. That's fine. Kill them all. I want all of them dead. I ain't got no use for none of them. Kill them all. You know, that king right there had the power to kill you if he wanted you dead. He had the power to chop you up in pieces. He said, I'll kill every one of you, make your houses a dunghill. And he meant to do that. That's what he was planning on doing. So when Daniel finds out about it, Daniel happened to not be in that meeting that day. And when Daniel finds out about it, you know what the first thing he did? He went right, let's get in the book and I'll show you. In verse 11 it says, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men in Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. They were looking for him. They were coming to kill him. Now listen to what happened with Daniel, though. I think Daniel's response ought to be our response every time something happens to us. Every time anything takes place in our lives that ain't exactly perfect in our life, when something falls apart on you, when something goes haywire, I mean, we may not be threatened with death because we can't determine a dream. But listen, how many times has something fallen apart in your life? How many times? Hey, listen, when I was down there, my wife was in the hospital with that COVID. There was a couple of days I didn't think she was going to make it. I really didn't. You know what I did? Just exactly what Daniel did. Exactly what Daniel did. That's what we always need to do. Look in verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. So what did I do when I found out my wife was bad off sick? I started sending out text messages. Please pray. Please pray for my wife, please. I had a lot of people praying for her. And I'll tell you right now, that's what got her out of the hospital. I'm thankful for doctors. I really am. I'm thankful for the medicine that they used. I'm thankful for all that. But God gave them that. God gave them all of that. He didn't. They didn't have that knowledge. They didn't have none of that on their own. God got my wife out of that place. God gave me back my wife. I'm thankful for that fact, folks. I'm thankful. Listen to what he said. He said, his companions in 18, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel's looking to get somebody to help him. Just like I am, just like you are. When you need prayer, the first thing you do is you get on your face first and call on God. You get on your face right now, instantly, when it comes down, something falls apart, the smart thing to do is get on your face first. Then you call your friends. Hey, if you know people, I know several people that I would call on in an instant to pray for me. And I'll tell you what, sometimes it ain't who you might think it'd be. I'm telling you right now. Y'all know Ruby Keith and Nancy Owsley. Those two ladies prayed more for me, I bet you, than any two human beings on this planet did. They love me. There ain't no question in my mind. Those two ladies love me. They'd pray for me. If they knew I was preaching, they'd follow me wherever I was going to go preach. I have no idea why, but they love me. And you can't get better than that. I'd rather have them two pray for me as 99% of the preachers in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm telling you, you get little kids pray for you. Hey, I'm telling you right now, you get some little kids praying to you. Praying for you, they'll get a hold of God. They'll get a hold of God. They don't have any guile. They don't know that he ain't going to fix it. We already think he ain't going to fix it before we start praying most of the time. That's our problem. We go to God, well, I know you don't have no time, God, and I know you're too busy to fool with me, but if you would, that ain't how you go to God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you come to him diligently seeking him and believe he's going to answer, and he'll answer. May not be the way you want him to answer sometimes, but he will answer. He will answer. Now, you know what Daniel's response was in this? Not only to pray, but Daniel's response was to glorify God. Yeah. Daniel didn't want the glory for himself. He couldn't do that at that time. He's like, no, no, no. It ain't me. I don't have this in me. Look what he said. Verse 20, first of all. 19. Let's go to 19 first. God revealed it to him. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered, I was only going to read one verse, but I want to read the rest of that whole thing because that's really good. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and I praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Hey, Daniel glorified God for that. That's where it came from. He knew that. Not only did he glorify God there, but listen to what he said in verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. That's good. But there is a God in heaven, he said, that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Hey, Daniel knew exactly where he got his wisdom from. He knew exactly where he got his power from. He knew exactly where to look for mercy from. Daniel knew what he was doing. He knew God. See, that's what we need. We need a bunch of people that know God. We need a bunch of people that know what he does, that know how he behaves, that knows what he likes and dislikes. How do you find that out, Rick? Right there. Right there. That's how you know God. Listen, a preacher said something this morning. I think it was this morning. He said the only thing that you can know of God is what he reveals. He reveals it here. He reveals it right here. You know what? I wish I could remember the chapter and verse on that, but I'm not even going to try. That's going somewhere completely out of my message, and I'm not going to do it. Listen, God Almighty wants you to know Him. He does. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him as good as Daniel knew Him. There's no respect of persons with God. He will not draw closer to Preacher Lawson than He will to you. He won't draw closer to you than He will to you. He wants all of us that close. Hey, we're all, if you're born again, you are a child of God. If you're born again, you're a child of God. How many of you with children don't want your kids around? I mean, there's times, I'm sure there's times that God looks down at me and says, not him again, not right now, I can't. No, I'm just kidding. I know he never does that. He has way more patience than I've got. I am sure he looks down from time to time and says, that's the dumbest one I got. But he's mine, and I love him.
Yeah,
I'm thankful for that. I don't mind. I'll be his dumbest one. I'll be his ugliest one. It don't matter to me, just as long as I'm his one. That's what counts. That's what counts. Now, and God's response to that was so good to me. I liked it so well. Look at 47 and 49. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret.
Yes.
Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon.
Wow.
He promoted him to first place.
Yeah.
Just exactly like he did with Joseph.
Right.
Exactly like Joseph.
Yeah.
Joseph ruled the whole kingdom of Israel, of Egypt.
Yeah.
And right here, Daniel ruled the whole kingdom of Babylon.
Yeah, right.
Made him first place. Because why? Because he obeyed. Because he knew God and he trusted God. That's what we need in these dark, perilous, troubled times. Whatever other adjective you want to use for them, that's what we need now. We need to trust God, but more than that, we need to know Him. We need to know His personality. See, that's so important to us. It's so very important to us in this day and age we live in to know Him. He's God Almighty. He created everything you see, and He wants to know you. Man, that's amazing to me. You know, I've said it 1,000 times. I'll probably say it 1,000 before I go home. But the most amazing thing to me about God Almighty is He knows me inside and out. He knows all there is to know about me. He knows the very hairs of my head, which are very few in number on the top these days. But He knows me and still loves me. How can He still love me knowing me that well? I know me and I don't like me at all. And I don't know me as good as He does. You don't even know your own heart. You know that? Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Bible says, who can know it? He says, I, the Lord, search the reins. He's the one that knows your heart. He's the one that knows all there is to know about you. Look in Daniel 6. I'm almost done. I know that's shocking. But look in Daniel 6. This is the second decree of death for Daniel. The second time he's about to die. Now, we know this story very well. Darius is come in, and he's taken over, and he took a liking to Daniel right off the bat. I mean, he liked him. He was smart. He could tell he was smart.
Yes.
He knew that Daniel was honest. Well, that's a trait we don't find very often, even in Christian people these days, honesty. Hey, listen, you don't want to deal with some Christian folks. They'll get you just as fast as anybody will. And that's a crying shame. But he knew Daniel was honest. He knew that he could be trusted. So he puts him in charge. He sets him up. Now, these other guys, he had three sheriffs. He called them presidents. He had these three presidents that he set up, and Daniel was in charge of all of them. And they didn't like him.
No.
They didn't like him at all. This Hebrew, this Jew, this dirty Jew that they can't even say Hebrew or Jew without that scowl. And that's the way most of the world is today. Just about all of it. I mean, it's a sad thing. And so much of the church feels the same way. Well, you better learn to love that bunch.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you better learn to pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Amen.
You're going to give account for that one of these days. But they couldn't even speak a single word about him without just a scowl. So they made it up in their minds. They know what to do. We're going to get that boy. We're going to fix his wagon. We're going to take care of him. The only thing they knew to trap him in was his faith. Ain't that good? When you think about that, could anybody find something else to trap you in? That'd be bad, wouldn't it? I mean, you just give that to you. I'm not accusing anything right now. I'm letting you accuse yourself right now. Could you be trapped in another way? So, look what they did. In chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Now, they lied right there, by the way, because Daniel wasn't in that bunch. It wasn't all of them. Have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. Well, his goose is cooked now. He can't pray. How's he going to pray? There's four words in the next verse that I like better than I like anything in this chapter. Listen to what happened. What happened with Daniel? Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. The last four words, as he did aforetime. Do you know what the thing is? Just don't quit. Just keep on doing what you do. Just keep on showing up for church. Just keep on showing up for Sunday school. Just keep on reading your Bible. Just keep on praying. Just do what you do. You ain't got to go above and beyond. You ain't got to act all crazy. Hey, Daniel did not run out and blow a trumpet. Do, do, do. Watch me what I'm fixing to do. I'm going to pray now. He didn't do that. He just did what he always did. He didn't try to draw attention. He didn't try to make a spectacle of himself. He just went down, got down on his knees and went to praying. Like he always did. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Now the decree, the second decree of death. In chapter 6, verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. But now the king knew. See, the king knew he'd been bamboozled right there. He knew they done went and messed him up. He didn't want that to happen at all. And I like what he said. Your God will deliver you. He can. He will. But you know what I noticed in here? You never see anything about while Daniel was in the lion's den. It doesn't talk about it. We don't have any idea what actually went on in that lion's den. Now I wonder, you all been to the zoo? You ever heard a lion purr? Boy, they purr loud. Sound like a Harley Davidson motorcycle in that cage. I bet it sounded like a whole tribe of Harleys in that lion's den that night. Daniel was in there. I would like to think he probably laid his head on one of them and slept. I don't know if that happened or not. He might have been scared to death of them. If he had any sense, he'd been on one side and let them stay on the other side. But I don't know. I mean, I really don't know. There's all kinds of pictures, all kinds of drawings, but you never know. And I believe God did that on purpose. I do. I don't think there's anything accidental in this book. See, that's the thing. God does what God does, how he does it. He doesn't ask our permission. We don't have to know what happened in the lion's den. What we have to know is what happened in Daniel. Right. See, Daniel was saved.
Yes.
God
yes.
shut the mouth
yes.
of those lions.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't say, let's just read here. He said, let's look at the king. Then the king arose, well, let's back up to 18. I wasn't even going to read that, but I like this anyway. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Sounded like me last night. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. He can deliver you from anything. It don't have to be lions. It can be the world. It can be the problems that you're having. It can be from an accident. It can be from joblessness. It can be from anything. It doesn't matter what it is. God can deliver. He's able, and he does. It's not that he just is able. He does. Listen to what he said. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. That's plain English right there, isn't it? The reason Daniel didn't get hurt in the lion's den was because he believed in his God, and God just said it. You cannot argue with it. Do you believe in your God? I mean, can he keep you? Can he keep you from harm? Can he keep you from hurt? Can he lift you up above the storms of life? I can. He can. I'm telling you, he can. I've seen it time and time again. I've watched God change people's lives in this church. I've watched people in this church, right? There are people sitting in here right now that wouldn't have been here 6 months ago, but God changed their lives. I'm standing here right now myself and wouldn't have been here just a couple months ago, but God kept me from dying of COVID. He kept my wife from dying of COVID. He's done things I've watched him do over and over and over. You know, the biggest miracle that can ever happen is God save a human soul. You think about that? God can save your soul from hell. Do you believe? That's the thing. We need to believe in God. That's what gets it done. That's what gets it done. Believe that God sent his son. It's Christmas, right? We just had Christmas. God sent his son to be born in a stable. Not in a king's palace, in a stable. Why? So he could identify with the lowly. Right here, that's me. He could identify with the weak and the pitiful. He was numbered among the transgressors. That's us. That's all of us. That's why he sent him. Do you believe? It ain't enough. See, it ain't enough to just believe in Jesus Christ. You've got to receive him. You've got to accept him in. You've got to let him come inside. And then he'll take over. And you don't have to clean up. You're not going to clean up enough. You can't possibly be good enough. You can't possibly clean up enough for him to want to come inside you. He's got to come in and clean you up himself. Hey, we don't clean the fish, we just catch them. That's all we are, fishers of men. That's what we should be. Let's go on, let's finish this. Because he believed in his God, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or they came at the bottom of the den. You notice who got thrown in that den? The whole gang. The whole hee-haw gang. You know what? Your sin does not just affect you. It affects everybody around you. It affects your family. It affects the church. It affects the people you work with. Our sin is not just our sin alone. And there's proof of it right there. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwelt in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever. Amen. Sound like he got to know something about it, don't it? And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. Now listen, that's the God that we serve. His kingdom, there'll be no end. His son, Jesus Christ, is going to reign over a kingdom one day. And he's not reigning over that kingdom now. Listen, if this is the kingdom of heaven right here now that we're living in, we got a bad king. This world is in utter turmoil every day. We are at the jumping off spot, thank God. We are ready to go. But listen, we got to occupy until he comes. That's what he said. Occupy until I come. That means you may have to learn some of the learning of the Chaldeans here. You may have to know a little knowledge of science while you're here. And you got to be careful of science falsely so called, but real science is good. It's simple. We have to know some things to get us through this world. But number one, we need a purpose in our hearts that we're not going to defile ourselves with this world. Number two, we need to constantly spend our days in prayer. And number three, we need to just do what we do. We need to do as we did before time. Just keep right on doing the way we've always done. That's what we need to do. Just hold the fort. Hold the fort. Because the Calvary's coming. Coming on a white horse one day. We're going to be behind him. That's going to be a day. Boy, it's going to be a day. Man. People say, you really believe that white horse stuff? Yep, I sure do. I read it right there. That's where I got it from. I believe it. I believe it's going to happen. I don't know where anybody stands tonight. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. I struggled with this because I know that I sometimes don't do exactly the things I ought to be doing. Sometimes I'm not holding on as tight as I ought to hold on, try to steadfast, you know, be like Daniel. I'm not perfect. Neither are you, though. So we ought to lift each other up, just like Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. You know what? If I profit, you profit with me. If God does something good for you, he does something good for me. I have never, ever looked at somebody that God blessed and thought, oh, what a person. Oh, that is, I can't do that. I am thankful when God blesses somebody I know. Hey, I hope God gives you all $1 million apiece. I really do. Our church is booming here if you did. Think of all the money we could build with and do things with. I'm happy about what God does for us. I don't begrudge anybody. We are part of one another. We're part of a body. And we ought to be able to cling to each other when trouble comes. I know I can. Hey, there's a bunch of you that already know. If something happens in my world, I'm calling. I'm texting. I'm needing prayer. That's what we ought to do together. Let's just keep on doing what we do. Preacher.